Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to New Life Church.
We are a church committed to changing lives.
And we want to be in a community that's diverse.
And having a radical impact on this world for Christ.
And if you'd like to connect with us more, you can go to our Instagram and Facebook pages or our website.
Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Let's worship.
Thank you.
Creation, high God, we praise you. No. Good morning, New Life Church. We are Albert and Diane Campman, and we'll be your hosts for this week's service. We want to welcome you and thank you for taking time to join us this Sunday. Thank you also to the worship team for leading us this morning.
Good morning. Only one announcement this week, and that is regarding Archway Ministries, the Abbotsford Food Bank. As always, they are in need of ongoing donations of food and money to keep our community fed. They are in real need of people to come out and help deliver groceries to their many clients. If you would like to help out, you can contact Mark Heidelberg, who is a deacon here at New Life. We are hoping to set up teams of drivers that are on a monthly rotating schedule. You can phone the office, and his contact information is on the screen also.
Well, the offering this week is for Esperanza Ministries. This ministry serves the people that are on the west coast of Vancouver Island. Well, during the pandemic, connecting with people has been extremely difficult, and praying with us that God will encourage the staff at Esperanza and bless them with clear vision. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. If you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below in the video description. Please, let's join us for prayer. Lord, we pray for a blessing on the people at Esperanza. We pray that you would give them great hope in this difficult time of uncertainty. As they seek to be a place of community and refuge for others, bless them with an abundance of resources, energy, and much joy. Amen.
All right, kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All of these materials can be found in the video description or on our website. Every month, New Life Kids begin a new series. This month is called Pixel Party. Each week, we'll be hearing stories from the Gospels about life-changing encounters with Jesus that show us incredible love that Jesus has for us. If you want your kids to get more out of the weekly videos, there are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig a little deeper. Now would be a great time to pause this video and set your kids up. When we return, we'll be joined by Pastor Nathan.
All right. Well, hello. And it's great to be with you again. So glad that we can, even in this way, be together as we gather around the Word of God. We're in a series of messages about the fruit of the Spirit, as Paul talks about it in Galatians chapter 5, where he lists the virtues that cause us to live in the freedom of Christ when we live, as he says, by the Spirit. And so we've covered already the first three virtues, love, joy, and peace. And the thing to notice about those three virtues is that they do not get generated from within ourselves. Love, joy, and peace are displayed in our lives only if we have received God's love, only if we've received the joy of the Lord, only if we have received the peace of Christ. Only then can we actually exercise those virtues. They are, first of all, gifts from God. But as we move on to the next virtues, we see a bit of a switch, because the next three virtues that we'll be addressing are patience, kindness, and goodness. And those obviously also reflect God, but they come from within ourselves, and they rely on our practice of them in order for those virtues to be displayed in our lives on any kind of regular basis. And so they're hard work. And it's tough training to bring these virtues alive within us. And they can be significantly challenging. And one of the things I think that's critical is, and so as we talk about patience, we need to be patient about ourselves, because a lot of these virtues, patience, kindness, and goodness, are often learned negatively. That is, so when we do not exercise patience, that's probably when we learn the best lessons to be patient. We even have a saying that reflects that: haste makes waste. And so we learn to be patient when we've been too hasty and reflect back on ourselves to say, I should have slowed down there. Well then, let's talk about patience, and the ultimate question, of course, is why should we even practice patience? Especially in our day and age, we want everything to be hurried up. Why? Why is patience such a virtue? I want to reflect on patience then, along with Paul's words in Romans chapter 8, a familiar chapter perhaps to you. Beginning at verse 22, this is the word of the Lord. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Well then, there's a couple of ways to look at the virtue of patience, and the first might be to look at it in terms of being patient with circumstances of our lives, the situation of our lives, the condition of our lives. And this could be referred to with the old English term long-suffering, that is, to suffer along with the conditions that are presented to us within our lives, the conditions that we, in fact, have no control over, which is something that we've certainly are having practice with during this pandemic season. It's a circumstance outside of our control, and we simply have to be patient with these circumstances. Well, then, Paul, in Romans chapter 8, actually refers to that in this sense, by observing that not only do we need patience for the circumstances of our life, but in fact, all of creation is waiting patiently, is groaning and waiting. Life on this planet, in other words, requires patience because of the condition of the world, because of the way the world is. Putting up with the way things are not supposed to be. That's the condition of the world. Everything is not the way it's supposed to be. And yet we live in the midst of it all. And so what's required of us is the virtue of patience, of long-suffering, putting up with those things. even if that's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, that kind of patience, long-suffering patience, is about waiting, but it's not a resignation. That's one of the qualifications I think we need to make with respect to patience, is that it's not just a matter of giving up on things. It's not just a matter of folding our hands and going, well, I guess there's nothing to do, so I'll just wait. That's not patience. Long-suffering patience is about waiting, but as Paul says, we wait eagerly. That is, with a sense of anticipation. Patience has its eagerness as well, but it doesn't forget to wait, nevertheless. So that's one important aspect of patience, particularly as we think about it in terms of things that are outside of our control. Long-suffering patience is not a resignation, it is waiting eagerly. But long-suffering patience is also this kind of non-anxious presence. In other words, it's the ability to stay calm in the midst of chaos, to remain attentive in the face of alarm. So, for example, in terms of an individual case, there's the story of Tony Dungy of NFL fame, well-known football coach, now retired in the Hall of Fame. And Tony Dungy, in his autobiography, tells the story of when he and his brother Lyndon would go and practice fly fishing with their dad, one of his happy memories, I guess. And in one episode, in the silence of casting their lines, suddenly the dad calls out as they're standing in the middle of the water there, and you know, each of them are casting their rods. And at one point, Tony's dad calls out, "Hey, Lyndon, don't move. Don't move for a minute." And then Tony Dungy's dad continues to explain to his sons calmly that how important it is to be completely aware of all of the people around you when you're casting your line. All the while, Tony Dungy's father is trying to pull a hook out of his ear, a hook that came from Lyndon's careless casting. Now imagine that. In the midst of that anxious time, with a hook pierced in your ear accidentally, to calmly suggest to your sons around you that you need to be aware of the people around you. Now that is long-suffering. In other words, patience then is a virtue whose test is not in the calm and quiet times of our lives, but in the anxious and chaotic times of our life. So long-suffering is awaiting, but it has an eagerness to it, and it has a calming, non-anxious presence about it. That takes training. How do you get that? How do you get that kind of patience? Well, quite simply, you need hope. You need hope when you're in a long lineup at the border, and it's simply the hope that you will still arrive to your destination on time. That's long suffering. There's nothing you can do about it, but you have hope. Or when you're frustrated by complications or limitations, it's the hope that you aren't defined by those frustrations. You're not defined by the failures of being delayed, but you're defined by a deeper identity. That also gives you patience, long-suffering. When you're anxious about the pandemic, it's the hope for things to return to normal. One of the things that helped me is when I heard Dr. Tam, among other people, simply suggest that, remember, the pandemic, any pandemic, never lasts forever. And I remember hearing that for the first time and thinking, oh, yeah, that gives me hope. And it allows patience. Ultimately, the source of that kind of patience, of long-suffering patience, is then, of course, the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, of course, that may sound simplistic and too much like a Sunday school answer, but it is the truth of the matter. That when we can define ourselves in terms of who Jesus is and our relationship with Jesus, when we can find our identity in Jesus, apart from our circumstances, then we can be long-suffering. Because we don't have to worry about our identity being destroyed. That will endure no matter what happens around us. Our identity is secure. Our hope is in Jesus. And so Paul says we are waiting eagerly for the redemption of our bodies, the redemption of, in fact, the whole world. And yes, we want that to be so. We want it eagerly, and yet we wait patiently. Patiently. Because we define ourselves not from our circumstances, not by what we are able or not able to do, but we define ourselves by our Savior, Jesus Christ, who makes all things new. That is hope. Well, then there's another aspect by which we can look at patience, and that is when we look at it in terms of other people. Patience with others. And it's the ability to put up with others, extending grace to one another, enough grace, well, perhaps simply not to fly off the handle when somebody makes a mistake or doesn't do what we want them to do. Grace. So if long-suffering patience requires hope, then forbearance, forbearing patience requires grace, enough grace to allow things to simply be, because we live in a broken world and we live broken lives, and all creation, as Paul says, groans with us in its brokenness. And so time after time, particularly in the New Testament and particularly in Paul's letters, time and time again, we are urged to forbear with one another. Be patient with one another. Colossians chapter 3, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forbearance. Or in Ephesians chapter 4, I urge you, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Forbearance, being patient with people. And it's often hampered by the faster and faster pace of our lifestyles. It seems that, at least in Western culture, that's just the direction of our lives. Everything we consider that goes faster is an improvement all the time. And so people drive us crazy because they aren't quick enough for our demands or not efficient enough for our expectations. And we want things to speed up. Forbearance with one another. And so what may have been quick for our grandparents would now be painfully slow for us. I mean, just think of it with respect to technology. I mean, if you can remember that far back, it used to take a long time to even just get on the internet. You had to wait for dial-up, and that could take 30 seconds, and then you could finally get onto a website. Back in 2006, it took 4 seconds to load up a web page. In 2009, We thought it would be slow unless it took 2 seconds. Nowadays, we want an instant loading of our web pages. We don't want to wait at all. And so practicing forbearance, being patient with one another, is critical simply because things don't always improve just because they're faster. And sometimes things cannot be faster. And sometimes that's just the way it is, that some people are slower than others. And we need that virtue of forbearance. Patience with other people. But that virtue is also hampered by the urge to fix everything rather than sometimes to be able to let things go and let them be as broken as they are. I think here the problem is that we know so much. We know so much about human patterns of behavior. We know so much about human psychology. We know so much about disorders. We know so much about human development that we have a fix for everything and anything that slows down a person or hinders them or hinders us. A young father is in a supermarket and he's got his young son tied into that little carriage basket in the front of the shopping cart, strapped in and so on. But that young son is irritable, is fussing, he's crying, he's throwing stuff out of the cart. People are passing by, they're giving them, you know, lots of space so they don't get hit by all of that kind of stuff. And this poor little fella is just screaming and hollering, and the father is pushing the buggy. And as people go by, they hear the father murmuring, "Easy now, Donald. Keep calm, Donald. Steady, boy. It's all right, Donald." And then a woman passes by, and she figures she needs to be helpful in this particular situation. And so she bends down to the little boy and says, "Oh, what seems to be the trouble, Donald?" And then the dad quickly replies, "Oh, ma'am, he's Henry. I'm Donald." You see, the woman assumed that she had the solution to fix this little boy. But the father had forbearance, and he was practicing his own patience with this son. For who knows what reasons he was crying and fussing. Well, then, how do you get that kind of patience? Well, it takes grace. Yes, grace. The ability to let things go, even though it looks like they could be corrected, or they could be better, or you could be correcting someone else. Grace. The kind of grace to surrender judgment on how slow every other driver is on the road. Or perhaps grace in curbing our rage at how inefficient that server is at the fast food restaurant. Patient forbearance. It also comes with a little bit of empathy for others and for other people's weaknesses and for their troubles, for other people's frustrations. It also comes with an awareness of your own weaknesses and your own failures and your own folly that causes others to be impatient. And it's that kind of grace that trains us in forbearance, in simply putting up with others. The virtue of patience, indeed, it's tough training and it's challenging, but it's a virtue that is necessary in order to get along in this world, as broken as it is. And so then, finally, there is this other aspect, this other angle by which we can look at patience. Patience not just with our circumstances, patience not just with other people, But patience with God. Patience is about also waiting on God. And so Paul's argument on waiting in Romans chapter 8 concludes with this verse in verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. It almost begs the question, why doesn't God just hurry up then? Why does God make us wait at all? And it seems logical to us in an age of instant everything to eliminate the need for patience altogether. Just do away with it. Just if you're on a project, get it done, God. Waiting, in fact, is a very major theme in the story of God. In all of Scripture, throughout the Bible, wherever you read it, we come across this idea, this theme of waiting, waiting on God, waiting on others, waiting on our circumstances. Noah had to wait 120 days, even though the flood or the rains had long stopped after 40 days and nights. Noah had to wait in the ark until God said he could exit. Abraham had to wait. He had to wait for a son to complete God's promise to make him into a great nation. He had to wait until he was over 100 years old. Israel had to wait. They had to wait in the wilderness for 40 years before they could enter into the promised land. The disciples, feeling abandoned when Jesus informs them of his departures, are told to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And the church in the midst of persecution is told to wait for Jesus to return. And we are still waiting, waiting on God. What's the point of all that waiting? What's the point of learning patience? Well, in the first place, it's about learning to trust. Because patience releases us from control and places us in the freedom of trusting. Remember, that's the point of going through these virtues, is learning to know what it means to live in the freedom of Christ. Well, here, patience teaches us to live in the freedom of trusting God in all things. Patience also is about anticipating what God can do in us. Not only to learn to live in the freedom of trusting, but also to have patience to allow God the room to teach us other things while we are patient. Patience allows us the chance to ask God, God, what do you want me to learn in this moment? What do you want me to see in this moment as you rush through traffic lights and suddenly hit a red light? God, what do you want me to hear? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to learn in this moment? What do you want me to surrender? Patience. A wonderful virtue that leads us into the presence of God. A God who himself never seems to be in a hurry and sometimes appears to us to be too late, but always an on-time God. Psalm 27 is the psalm of patience with God. It outlines fear and longing that we experience in life. And then, with a quick turn in the psalm, we read, "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." That's in the middle of the psalm. And that's the ultimate point of patience. It can teach us to fix our eyes on the author of our faith, indeed, on the author of our lives. Patience can teach us in the midst of our own willfulness, our own desire to do as we please. Patience can teach us the way of the Lord. And it strengthens our faith so that we can conclude with the psalm in our own lives as we hear the words, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord." Let's pray together. Almighty God, we live in a very hurried society. And often our lives are tremendously hurried. And so we pray for the virtue of patience to dwell within us, to be exercised in our lives. And so give us the presence of mind when we need to slow down, to be attentive to your voice, to be attentive to your call, to be attentive to your directing hand in our lives. And Father, we pray for patience with one another in the frustration of our lives as we live together, especially as we're often just kind of limited by our ability to go out and do whatever we feel like. Father, we pray that you will give us that kind of patience and with one another. We pray, Father, that you will give us patience with the circumstances of our lives. For some of us, it is this pandemic. For others of us, it's the worry of various things in our lives, perhaps a job or perhaps our health or whatever it may be, Father. We pray that you will inspire us with hope in Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bless us with your grace. And we pray that as we fix our eyes on you, as we turn our face to you, Lord Jesus, bless us with patience to wait upon you. And may you be our confidence and our strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So go into this week and go with the confidence that you can wait, that you can be patient because of your hope in the Lord Jesus. And may you say with the psalmist, "We remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And so the Lord bless you. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Amen.
Turn his face. There's so much power in singing this blessing over our family and our friends and our neighbors and our communities. The last few weeks, Pastor Nathan has shown us that love, joy, and peace are all gifts that we just have to receive. But today he talked to us about patience, and we see that patience is something that calls us to action. And so this week we want to challenge you to exercise patience by choosing the longest line in a store as opposed to the short one. And we also want to remind you, or maybe inform you, that next week Sunday we're having a church-wide Zoom bingo night complete with prizes. It's the first time we've done something like this, and we're really excited to get to see all of your faces again, even if it's over a computer. You can find the link for the Zoom on our website, as well as a link to download and print a virtual bingo card. Go in peace.